Reading from Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. This is the reading of God's Word. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.' And the four living creatures kept saying, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you show us your home, our eternal home, through your word. You show us what your Son has accomplished for us. And Father, as we see this glorious sight through your word, let our faith grow. Let us completely trust your Son, Jesus Christ, and his word. Oh, Father, let us never lose our sight of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of the whole creation. And Father, we pray that you will bless your people who are hearing of your word. They will be like your Son more and more. And even as we hear your word, we pray that they will have a wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank you and receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We move on to chapter 5, and we'll spend two Lord's days looking at this chapter. Let me remind you that just like John, who is invited by our Lord Jesus Christ to see heaven, you and I are also looking at heaven through the Word of God. And just like John, who is in spirit, you and I too are in spirit as we worship, because we worship in spirit and in truth. In the middle of it all, we see the throne of God and the one who sits on the throne. He is glorious, unapproachable light. And we see 24 thrones around the throne at the middle, and we see 24 elders who represent God's people, you and me, sitting on those thrones. We are royal priesthood of God, and we see seven lamps of fire, which is the Holy Spirit. We see the sea of glass in front of the throne in the middle. It points to the fact that all of God's enemies are conquered. Now in the center and around the throne, we see four living creatures. And we see the myriads of myriads and thousands of angels who surround all these things. All are worshiping God, and all are praising God. Just like what we are doing right now. And I truly pray that you would realize that, that you are worshiping God right now. That is what you're doing. And I pray that God would enable you to see this glorious sight in which you are active participants. We join the heavenly choir in saying, chapter 4, verse 11, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created." The Creator God is being worshipped. But here in chapter 4, we do not see our Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to John in chapter 1. But we will see him in chapter 5. Thus, in chapter 5, we see God not only as the Creator, but as the Lord of the new creation, the Lord and Savior, the God of salvation. Verse 1, "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals." So in the middle throne, we see God sitting, but he has a book in his right hand. In the right hand of God, a scroll, a book. It is written on both sides. And it is sealed up with seven seals. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of the time." This book contains the plan of our God for his people. "Conceal these words," God says to Daniel. But that was then, Old Testament period, before Jesus came. You see, the end of time has now come. Jesus Christ, our Lord, has accomplished all things and now ready to break the seals. The book. What is the content? God's plan of consummation of the new creation through Jesus Christ. God's plan of consummation of salvation and judgment. God's plan for the period between the two comings of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan during the church period. But the book is sealed up with seven seals. The content is secret. It is mystery. But through Jesus Christ, it is revealed. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9a, He made known to us the mystery of His will. The act of opening the book and the breaking of seals points to revealing the will or the plan of God and carrying out or fulfilling that plan. Let me repeat that. The act of opening the book and the breaking of seals, they point to revealing the will or the plan of God and also carrying out or fulfilling that plan. So it is Jesus Christ as He breaks those seals. What is He doing? He is revealing the will of God or plan of God. And He carries it out. He fulfills it. Jesus Christ is, chapter 1 verse 5, the firstborn of the dead. And chapter 3 verse 14, the beginning of the creation of God. He is the inaugurator of the new creation. Through His death and resurrection, He inaugurates the kingdom of God. He accomplished our eternal salvation. Plan of God. It is the consummation of His kingdom through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is the consummation of salvation for His people through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus came to fulfill the plan of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 through 10. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I have come to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will, we have seen sacrifice through the offerings of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. As you could see, Jesus came to fulfill the will of God in that book. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. The book's content is Himself, Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is about Him. Because God's will is to fulfill all things through Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ. Verse 2 and verse 3. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? No one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth is worthy to do the task. I want you to really understand the situation here. In chapter 4, we saw a glorious sight. We have four creatures, holy. We have 24 elders. We have myriads of myriads and thousands of angels. And in that picture, we don't even have a sinner. And yet, no one is able. No one is worthy to do the task. If they cannot, then who is able in this world? No one. That's the point, brothers and sisters. Not even one. Romans chapter 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. Even the angels who did not sin cannot do it. Verse 4, then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. Now this is very, very interesting sight. Where is John right now in this chapter? He's in heaven. And yet he cries, he weeps. Now you need to really appreciate this scene. John is looking at the glorious sight of heaven and he weeps. Why? Because he doesn't see Jesus Christ. He does not see the one who is worthy to open these seals. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Heaven without Jesus Christ is no heaven at all. Even in heaven, without Christ, all you could do is cry. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, what we're talking about here? Why do you like or love heaven? Why do you want to go there? You know, some people talk about heaven as if is another part of this world. They talk about in terms of gold and silvers and many, many precious jewels. They talk about heaven in terms of place where they don't have to suffer anymore. But yes, heaven is all that. But would you go there if Christ, your Lord, is somewhere else? Heaven without Jesus Christ. Not heaven at all. Heaven is not a good place for a sinner without Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, a sinner will meet God only as the creator, only as the judge, and that is not a good thing. You know, everyone has to meet God. It's not just Christians who meet God later. Everyone has to meet. Either you meet God as the creator and judge, or you meet him as your father and savior. But you will have to meet him, no matter who you are. John is weeping. And it shows us the reality of the Old Testament, the period with reasons for complaints. How long? They cry out. Of course we say that too, but for a different meaning. In the Old Testament, when they cry out, how long? They were waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises. How long until you do these things that you have promised? But when we say how long, it's not about fulfillment because it is already fulfilled. When we cry out how long, we want all that Jesus has accomplished already to be revealed, to be visible, so that everybody in the whole universe, they have to acknowledge it. They have to glorify God because now they have to accept Him as true God. So, please do understand that even as we say the same words, we don't mean the same. In the Old Testament, Jesus did not come yet. Yes, there is reason for weeping. But once you understand that Jesus came and He accomplished all things, once you understand what He did and accomplished, you cannot cry like the Old Testament saints. You just can't. Because reason for their crying is no longer there. Because Christ has accomplished it. And this is what you and I, we need to understand too. What are your complaints in your life? Once you understand what Christ has done for you, what He has accomplished for you, those complaints become silly. Because there's nothing to complain about. We do complain because our sinful desires are not met. Desires that want this world. Because if you truly listen to your complaints, it's all about this world. Because I know you're not going to be complaining about heaven or heavenly realities that Christ has accomplished for you. I don't think you will ever complain about your eternal state that Christ has accomplished. All your complaints will be in terms of this world, which is perishing. See, once you clearly understand our religion, clearly understand what Christ has accomplished and done for you, there is no complaint in our religion. Only how long? Because we want to see the glorious reality Only how long is in terms of when Jesus' glory will be revealed fully. That's our how long. Because we want Jesus to receive all the glory. That is our desire. That's why we cry out, how long? But you and I, we live in a new era in which there is no reason for weeping. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ has come and accomplished our eternal salvation. We do have Jesus Christ. John was weeping because he did not see Jesus Christ, but you and I, we always have Jesus Christ. You cannot weep with Christ right next to you. Well, if we do not see Christ, then yes, then cry. Because that is the only thing we could really do. But we have Jesus Christ. We have Him as our eternal inheritance. We do see Jesus Christ who is worthy. Verse 5 says, and one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. God says to you also, do not weep. He says to you who are weeping in the life of suffering in this world. He says to you who are weeping because life is too difficult. And there's certain difficult things that you don't know how to solve. But I hope, brothers and sisters, you will hear God's voice. Do not weep. Because all your problems are solved. And you will see that when you see God. All your problems are not forever. Brothers and sisters, you must see how Christ has solved all your problems. Because when I see Him face to face, whether I go to Him or whether He comes back, I will clearly see how He has solved all my problems. And spiritually, it is already accomplished. You just have to see it. You just have to believe it. And it's not just positive thinking or brainwashing, but I'm talking about the true reality. Brothers and sisters, stop weeping. Why? Because Jesus has completely and perfectly accomplished our eternal life in heaven with God. He has accomplished it. He is accomplishing it. And He will completely and perfectly consummate it. That is our hope. That is our confidence. That is why many times, you know, when I'm talking to some of you, I realize your life is difficult. It is really hard. But I'm still able to give you hope because of what Christ has done and accomplished for his people. And you will know, and you will see. Whether your faith is great or not, right now you might not see it, but you will see how he has accomplished it. And because I know that, I don't have to worry. I do not worry about me, my family, or my church family, heavenly family. I just pray. I don't worry. We have to ask ourselves, how is my faith, what I say I believe, dominating my life? Do we really believe it? That's the question. And if you don't, then of course, only thing you could do is worry. What else can you do? But be free, brothers and sisters. Stop weeping. Behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. You know, when you hear this announcement, behold the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, we expect a great one to come out. And yes, the great one comes out. But some of us might expect a great one in terms of this world. He's called Lion. But in verse 6a, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing. Not just lamb standing, but lamb standing as if slain. You have to again appreciate this scene. Here's announcement. The lion. And John sees a lamb, a slain lamb. Disappointment. Because if your expectation is in terms of the world, and when someone is announced as a lion, and you see a lamb, and not just lamb, but lamb as if slain, to the world, it is a disappointment. Because lion, you expect power, might. The lamb, and slain lamb at that. Are you disappointed? Are you disappointed? Yes, in the worldly perspective, in the worldly expectation, he is a letdown. 1 Corinthians Chapter 1, verse 18, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 to 24, for indeed Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. To you and to me, He is everything we expect. He is our delight and joy. The sight of the Lamb who is slain, the sight of Jesus Christ who died for our sins on the cross. It is the most glorious sight for us. God dying for us. Yes, lion, greater than lion, becoming a lamb for us, so that he may die for your and my sins. If this is not the most glorious sight, then what is? But again, for the world, it is let down. Jesus, our Lord and God, He died. Why? Because of our sins. It is because of the Lamb who is slain. It is because of what He did for us. We are now able to participate in this assembly of heaven. It is because of that Lamb who is slain, we are able to see this glorious sight, heavenly sight. The lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he is the Messiah who is promised from Old Testament. Genesis 49, verse 8 to 10, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Jesus fulfills this prophecy. Isaiah 11 verse 1, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. And a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Again, Jesus fulfills this prophecy. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus proclaims that he is the son of David, and at the same time, David's God. Romans chapter 1 verse 3, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is the lion that is from the tribe of Judah and the root of David. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Lamb of God that John chapter 1 verse 29, who takes away the sins of the world. Acts chapter 8 verse 32, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. He is our Passover lamb. He took away our sins and died for our sins, and with his blood, our sins have been perfectly, completely cleansed. Now through the resurrection from the dead, he conquered death and rose again as the victorious Lord and God. Verse 6b, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth, the Lamb is the glorious King. Chapter 14, verse 1, then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Revelation chapter 6, verse 16, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. He is the Savior of his people, and he is the judge who will judge this world. Seven horns point to his authority and power. Psalm 89, verse 17, for you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. Psalm 112, verse 9b, his horn will be exalted in honor. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, and the dragon stood on the sand of seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. Horns with diadems. Beast, Satan, he has the authority. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he's above all. Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, as for the 10 horns, out of his kingdom 10 kings will arise. Then we see Jesus Christ, Lamb, slain Lamb, but he has 7 horns. What do we see? Our Lord Jesus Christ is described as having 7 horns. He is Almighty King. He also has 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God. 7 spirits of God, we already saw this, the Holy Spirit. Isaiah verse 11, chapter 11, verse 2 speaks of the Messiah. There it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is with Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 33a, therefore having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. And this is how we should understand the phrase that we find in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45, Jesus became a life-giving spirit. His resurrected body is a spiritual body covered with the glory of God. But the 7 spirits of God are also 7 eyes. He has the eyes of the judge. He sees all and knows all, and he judges all. He is now ready to pour out his judgment upon the earth. But remember, the judgment for the world is also salvation for his people. You already saw this in the Old Testament. Noah's flood. The judgment upon the world was salvation for his people. Crossing the Red Sea. Judgment upon the Egyptian army was salvation upon Israel. Israelites. He is ready now to break the 7 seals, to pour out judgment upon the world. 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 bowls. They're all judgments that God pours out upon this world. Do you remember when God saved Israelites out of Egypt, what did he do? He sent 10 judgments. God poured out 10 judgments upon the Egypt. But that 10 judgments upon Egypt was salvation for Israelites. And that is what is going on right now. God is judging this world. Just like before his people are completely and perfectly saved out of this world, our Lord Jesus Christ pours out judgments to this sinful world. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? The period between the first coming and the second coming, the church age, is when our Lord is now the king because he has completely accomplished all his tasks, and now he's judging the world. But understand, even as he judges the world, think about it. During the Old Testament, you know, Israelites living in Egypt. And when they were living in Egypt, before they come out, the judgments, 10 plagues, judgments came to Egypt. And Israelites were affected by that judgment. They were not being judged. But don't you think that during that time of 10 judgments, what kind of life do you think the Israelites live in Egypt? A pleasant one? But if they understood that that 10 judgments is actually their salvation, if they knew that, and I'm sure because by the faith that God has given some of them, some people knew. They were able to endure that life because their hope is set on salvation. They know that after 10 plagues, they're going out. You are living in that period. You have to understand what is going on right now. What is going on in this world? And you scratch your head going, man, so many bad things are happening. And some people even say, if there's God, then why are these bad things come, you know? But you have to understand, God has shown us what is going on. What is the reality? Jesus is judging the world right now. But these judgments are a sign of us being saved. We're going to be one day after all these 7 seals and 7 trumpets and 7 bowls are poured out. Then we're going to finally come out of this world. This world will be completely destroyed. Do you see it? This is the birth pain before the new heavens and new earth are born. God is showing you what is happening so that you may know, so that you may not be afraid, so that you may not worry. And that is what we're going to see. Brothers and sisters, God is alive. And he is doing everything according to his plan. You have to see the big picture, brothers and sisters. I'm sorry, but see, you put the value of all your life in your job, in your studying. But brothers and sisters, there are bigger things happening than just your life. And you're really gonna regret if your life is just focused on your job and on your studying. Because that is not everything. God's history is being fulfilled. You have to live, whether you work or whether you study, you have to live your life in terms of what God is doing. He is saving you from this world. He has already saved you, now He is saving you, and He will completely save you. Your own life is micro version of what is really happening. You must live your life in terms of what God is doing. Verse 5b, He has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. Yes, our Lord has the victory. He has overcome. And how did He overcome? Through suffering and death. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9b, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Now you and I are invited to participate in His life of suffering and death. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10, we always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Do you even know what that means? The church's experience is described in the book of Revelation as that of suffering and death. Chapter 11, verse 7 through 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 20, verse 4. Go home and please read, because we're passing the 10:30 mark. Verse 7. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. Just picture it. Jesus Christ, who is worthy, He goes to the Father and takes that book out of His hand. Now He's ready to break those seals. But understand, many of those seals are already broken, I believe. It has been 2,000 years. Jesus is ready. He's the King now. Now He judges the world so that He may save His people, save His church. Jesus is the one who reveals the will of God, and He is the one who fulfills the will of God. Chapter 10 verse 2 talks about the open book. See, when you go to chapter 10 of Revelation, it is no longer sealed, it's all open. Jesus is the God of all history. He is the creator and redeemer and the consummator of His people. We are here to worship the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 11 through 14, Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elder, and the number of them were myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, every Lord's Day when you come to heaven, you meet Jesus Christ, who is the King, who controls everything, who governs, who reigns over His people, and He is judging the world, and He is saving you. He is saving you out of this world. Understand, you're living that same life that Israelites lived in Egypt when 10 plagues were pouring down. You got to have that realization. You got to understand what is really happening. But we're too busy looking at this world as if this is everything, as if God is just sleeping. No, come to the Bible and look into heaven and see God. See God who is in control. And that is exactly what we are doing as we truly worship our God. In the Word of God, I pray that you will see yourself bowing down as one of those 24 elders, bowing down and worshiping the Lamb who is slain. Don't be afraid. The history that our God has set has to run through. It's just a birth pain before the new heaven and new earth is born. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. It clearly shows who is God and what you are doing even now. It clearly shows what you have accomplished for your people. It clearly shows who we are in Jesus Christ even now. Oh Father, the sight is glorious. It makes us very happy. We thank you and we join the heavenly choir. Worthy are you, our God. We thank you, God. We pray that you pour out blessings upon blessings, grace upon grace, that we may know Jesus Christ, that we may love Him with everything we have. Bless your people, and we thank you for blessing your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.